ask the Lord to help us. Father, I thank you for this lesson. I thank you that it has opened great vistas in my heart and my understanding, and it's given me much more confidence in my walk. And I pray that the very same things that you've taught me through it, that you will in turn teach to each of the ladies here. May they leave here today with a sense of completeness. May they leave here today with fears being put aside, putting their confidence totally in you, how much you care for each of us. Help us now be our teacher, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is, what does Jose Nu mean? And I got kind of a kick out of it because it sounds very Latino. So my husband brought me, let's see, it's not next week, so it's 2 weeks from now. And he says, the Lord has a Scottish name. So maybe by the time we're through, we'll get in Polish and everything else. Of course, that's because I don't pronounce it right. Jehovah Jose Nu. Jose Nu. That's a Z. He's our personal maker. He's made us once in the womb, and now he's fashioning us again, taking that which already exists and refashioning it for, guess where, heaven. And it makes a lot more sense once you grasp that, of why you and I are here and why you and I get beat up so much and why times are tough and sometimes you feel like you're going through a meat grinder. He's our personal maker. He's a personal maker who keeps covenant with you personally. He's redeemed you, and he's promised an inheritance. And the wonderful part about that is that every time you have communion, you can be reminded of that, that there's the best is yet to come. Now, it's impossible for God to lie, so you can put your confidence in that. That's why you can claim scriptures in your prayer time, because God cannot lie. He stands behind his word. Now, the Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and live with him forever. But we glorify or enjoy him only in the proportion of how well we know him. And I've just been encouraged by doing this study on the names of God. It's just opened up all kinds of understanding for me. And I just feel much more secure in my walk. Knowledge of God is essential and central to our relationship with him and our glorifying and enjoying him. I could read all the books that are out on President Bush. I could maybe even get an interview with his daughters and his wife and his parents. And I could really say that I have all this wealth of history about him. I could talk to his pastor. I could talk to his fellows that he served with overseas. And I could make a huge conglomeration of interviews. But I still wouldn't know him. Some could say that about about the Lord today. I know a lot about God. I've read through the Bible. I've gone to the Holy Land. I've gone to other Bible studies. I'm in church every Sunday. But still, they don't know the Lord personally. And that's so important. Remember what Jesus said. Lord, haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done this in your name? And the Lord said, depart from me. I never knew you. And so we look at our name for this week. Oh, I can see it. In Psalm 95. And I just, this has really opened some understanding for me. But look how many times we're invited to come. Verse 1, O come. Verse 2, let us come. And verse 6, O come, let us worship. And so we're invited. And you say, well, so? But, you know, begin to start understanding that God is approachable. He's approachable, God. It's one of the great wonders of the universe that our great, eternal, uncreated, self-existent God should not only be approachable, but also desires for us to come to him. You start looking out at the sky, if it ever clears, and see all the stars, and you know he's keeping all of that under control, and he's made all the galaxies and all of the universe But guess what? He's interested in you. And not only that, but he's approachable. It's astounding to me every once in a while to bring myself up short. Of course, Psalm 95 tells us how to approach God. We're invited to approach in an uninhibited way. You know, you start talking about Almighty God, and you go through this little bit of ritual. Don't. Just come to him as you are. You know? And, but in an understanding way, not flippant or irreverent. We certainly learned that in Leviticus. He's holy, holy, holy. But there's no groveling either. You don't get on your knees, say, past the parking lot, and start crawling into church, beating yourself as you go. What is this? You know, God is approachable. Always remember his holiness, his majesty, and his power. Now, what a God we serve. We're to come with joy. And I like the idea we're told to come two times. We're shouting. Yeah, how would that go over at church? They might lock you up. But you can certainly do it at home. Hopefully your children won't get worried. Did you notice all the names too in the in this particular psalm? You know, I'm just my eyes just catch the names. We have Lord, L-O-R-D, and it's all capitals in the first verse. That's referring to him as Jehovah, or Yahweh if you prefer that. And then you have him as Rock in verse 1, and then down verse 3 you have him as King. And then, of course, the one we're studying today, Maker, in verse 6. And I love this one. He catches up on the shepherd, too, but especially the words. We sang this morning with our opening song. But we are the people of his pasture. So, again, we're picking up the fact that he is our shepherd. But I looked, you probably just sang right over this and didn't give it a thought, is that we are the sheep of his hand. The sheep of his hand, what does that mean? That means it's very personal. He will carry you when you're hurting. He'll reach out to you. Remember those bot flies that get up the sheep's nose? Yeah. Well, he will anoint you with oil so that won't happen. And what is it that happens so often when we're in trouble or something comes up? We go the other direction. We're like that dumb sheep that just kind of says, I can do it on my own. Or I don't want anybody to know. And then we go off on our own. And that's a very sad thing. Yeah, I just love all the names that keep popping up, especially in Psalms. We worship him in response to all that he's done for us. And if you're not there yet, that's okay. It's a learning process. Worship is what we give to God. It's not based on anything that we get. It's our worship is to give back to God. So a service of worship is a service of surrender. And how do we come? We come with thanksgiving. And you say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful about today. And I just it'd be hard for me to worship today because things are really going bad or sour. Well, that's when we need to give thanks back more than any other time. Give thanks and praise. We're to do that in all things. And that why does the Lord ask us to do that? Because the devil is right there wanting to create real trouble with your problems so that you'll say, where's your God now? He'll say to you, and then you think, yeah, where's God now? Things shouldn't be going this way. And he wants you to worship him or give thanks back to him in all things. Well, the content of our worship is to be Jehovah. Focus on him as creator, king, shepherd, Elohim, Lord. And notice in verse 7, of course, the sheep of his hand. Don't ever forget that. What did we have last week? The Holy Spirit has put you in Jesus' hand, and Jesus' hand is in the Father's hand. And that way you are kept by the Lord. You belong to him, if indeed you do belong to him. Now, submission to Jehovah Hosenu is the ability for the Lord to fashion something out of something. You and I want to bake a cake. We get all the ingredients out. We stuff and we put it all together, the Lord is taking each of our lives and going to make something out of it. He's our creator and our recreator. I remember when I was a new Christian, I told the Lord, I really didn't need any correcting. You know, I really didn't, you know. Been through enough, Lord, I don't need anything more, right? Wrong. So, and I used to resist it and fight it, but now I understand that any time the Lord allows anything into your life, He's doing it for some purpose. There's something He's trying to get at. And when He's doing that, it's much easier to say, okay, Lord, why is this going on? How am I supposed to respond? What is happening? And usually it's for my own good. And I can say that, looking back on my life, it wasn't fun going through any of it. But today I can say, oh, I'm so grateful that He did, because He tenderized me through that. And didn't you notice in Psalm 139, and didn't Barbara sing that beautifully this morning? Well, that was a tough song, especially, I thought, early in the morning. But it was beautiful. But that particular verse in 17 that says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Yes, but they number more than the sand. I can't get my hands around that. He sees you, and His thoughts towards you are more than the number of the sand. It just is beyond me. So, therefore, if His thoughts are precious towards you, He is weaving together everything that takes place in your life for some reason. The good, bad, all those things, He's weaving it together. And then, of course, in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? And every once in a while, one of us will try to hide from the Lord, which is rather silly. But even death or distance or darkness does not hide us from God. So when you go to bed and you're by yourself and it's very dark, remember, God sees you. Isn't that wonderful? Or if you should travel to a foreign land and you think, oh, everything's so strange, but see, the Lord sees you. And there's no hiding. And then David cries out in verse 23 and 4, says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my anxieties. A lot of us can't get past that because we don't want to look at our anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. And I think David's well on his way with Jose Nu. He's being conformed to the Lord's image. And I think, isn't that when we try to back off, you know? As I say, I think, I don't need any changing, Lord. Recently I wrote in my prayer book, forgive me, Lord, for all the dumb things I've done since I've become a Christian. Since I've become a Christian. No, none of us have it together until we're home in heaven. So in Psalm 95:1, and go back to that. These all mark so I can find them. It's He is the rock of our salvation. Now, we'll touch on that in another lesson, so I don't go into that thoroughly, but He's the foundation, He's the agent of our salvation. Our salvation is grounded in Him, and He does what He can do for us that we can't do, and that is that we cannot save ourselves. You could do penance the rest of your life. It wouldn't do any good. You could give all your money to the poor. It wouldn't do any good. You need to be saved by the blood of Christ. We use that word redemption frequently, but I looked it up in the dictionary, and all it means is rescue. I thought, how simple. That's what the Lord has done for us. He redeems us with His blood. And what does that say? Is that He's rescuing us out of this world. And this world's tough. So He alone provides it. And why is that important? Because we are part of Adam's lost race. We can't make ourselves right. So we inherited our sin nature. And Jesus said, well, I'll go to the cross. And it took the life of Christ, the blood of Christ. Remember that this Easter season of what the Lord did for you personally. And if you have received the Lord, you should be able to go back to some date. Now, I was a very slow birth. I examined the scriptures, and I just didn't believe this way could be right. And, of course, I stand before you today because it's very right. But it is real good. I learned this at Basic Youth Conflicts, is to drive in a stake. And I have, rest in peace, Liz, May 23rd, 1968. Did I receive the Lord then? No, but that's when I got baptized. I think I kind of backed into salvation. I don't think I, you know, I have no specific thing. I just kind of absorbed it and realized, oh, that's what this is all about. So I was a slow birth, but I've put that in my Bible. Why? Because the devil wants to come around and accuse you of not belonging to the Lord, especially if you do stupid things like I've done since I've been walking with the Lord. Wish I could say I have it all together this morning. I certainly don't. Very important. Write that in the back of your book. Because our salvation is based, is a three-dimensional. I have to seek forgiveness again on this. See, I need a week off. We have a three-dimensional salvation. That's why I say it's important that you have a date or you have some kind of a time that in your life where you have said yes to the Lord, because then you've passed from death to life and the penalty of sin is taken care of. Now, I was dyslexic for the next part of your lesson, and I didn't catch it. I've even talked to a couple of leaders insisting this was right. That's how hard-hearted I was. And then I thought, the Lord just very nicely said, that's backwards in your lesson. So please forgive me, and I know you don't like filling in blanks, so I'll try to avoid them in the future. Now, you and I are in the present. If you belong to the Lord, you are working out your salvation. That's, we get to know the Lord, we get to study His Word, and we're working it out, we're moving ahead. And we have now the power over sin by claiming His Word, by seeking the Lord. Do we always do the right thing? No. We'll pick that up in our next lesson. But, and then we have a future salvation when we'll be home free and there'll be no presence of sin anymore. I don't know about you, but on occasion I've tried to think about what it would be like if there were no sin. Are you trying to think about that? Yeah, it would be so, it's so beyond us. It's very hard to grasp all of that. So I apologize again for having boo-booed in the lesson. So, oh well, we go on. Well, first of all, He saves us and now He shapes us. And how does He shape us? Oh, we just wake up one morning and we're all ready for heaven, right? That's my Bible. No. He shapes us with whatever tools available. And those tools sometimes really hurt. Sometimes it takes the death of a loved one. Sometimes it takes an unwanted divorce. Sometimes it takes reversal in finances. Sometimes it takes ill health. Sometimes it takes a terrible accident. Sometimes it takes fill in the blank. And I wish it were just one problem, but oftentimes it's many problems. And every once in a while you get a little rest, be thankful. But life's difficult. And I wrote down here in my Bible, sheep are dumb. And usually when the trouble comes, we don't want anybody to know about it. And or maybe just a couple of people, close friends. And that's the mistake we all make. We need to go towards the Lord, towards people that will pray for you, and ask God to work. We had a hint of the Lord being the potter. I was in a cross reference I gave you, and clay. You take the clay, and He's the potter, and He's trying to make something beautiful out of your life, and He puts you on the wheel. But if you are hard, if you are hard-hearted, then God can't make anything out of your life. And it's very possible as a Christian where you dig in your heels and you say, no, I'm not going to go any farther. I don't want to go any farther. The Lord knows that. But there's little pebbles if you're pliable. And I thought, how can you be pliable? Well, you're pliable by the water of the Word. It softens you. Doesn't it soften you as we get into this? Hopefully, it shouldn't make you harder, but it should get soft by the water of the Word so that God can make you into something, something beautiful. And as He puts you on that, He takes out pebbles. He takes out pieces of sand. He takes out impurities. And He's going to make something very beautiful out of your life. And even if you blow it, He will go from a beautiful vase to a lovely plate. Being pliable by the Word. So He uses everything that's possible to mold us. But we are His workmanship. That which He began in you, He will complete it. And sometimes we think, hurry up, hurry up. But He's fashioning you. And that's what this wonderful word means. He's fashioning your life into something and making you beautiful for Him. So you're His masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You're His poem. You are His work of art. You are something very beautiful and special to the Lord. And how is this accomplished? It's accomplished through yielding, submitting, surrendering to Him. And it's, just remember, hard clay can't be worked. Do you see in Psalm 95:8? They were hardening their hearts, and they were testing the Lord. And that's when they were out in the wilderness. And they said, it is people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. And I wrote in my Bible, that's my choice not to know His ways. So I swore in my wrath, that's God speaking, they shall not enter my rest. And this, of course, would have been the promised land. For you and I, it's rest here. You know, it's easy to rebel. It's easy to say no. But you won't enter into the rest that God has for you right now in that particular situation. Well, I don't know. It's not much fun being a sheep. But it might be a step up from being a piece of clay. So, again, it's all up to Him, what He's making out of us. You say, well, I don't want the pain. I just don't want the pain of going through anything like that. But take a long, hard look at the cross. That makes a difference, doesn't it? That's certainly the movie, The Passion is back out now in certain theaters. We had it here last Sunday night. And it's good to review what the Lord has done for you and what He will do for you. On 95:6 includes the bow down. Let us worship and bow down. I'm always impressed every time I see the Muslim men all bow down. Of course, they're responding to a prayer, and then they go down. And they go down on their forehead. And that's what it means to bow down. It's to go down on your forehead. Well, hold yourself with your hands, or you give yourself a concussion. But it's to bow down, to prostrate yourself, and the forehead on the floor. That's something to think about. The Lord is saving, He's shaping, and He's sustaining us. And oftentimes He carries us. And what is our response to that? Our response to that is to be one of worship. And I gave you a couple of verses, and this is for all gray-haired people here. honest gray. Psalm 41:2 is the first one. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He'll be blessed on the earth and will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of illness. So even in illness, God is right there with you and in it. He should sustain him on his sick bed. And the other one is Isaiah 41:4. This is all for all true gray heads. It says, what's the verse? 46:4. It's hard for me to see. Even to your old age, I am He. And even, I'm not old though. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. Isn't that beautiful? Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I've made you. I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Such promises that God has for us. You know, what is there in our life that ever that we should fear anything? In the giving of the name Jehovah Hosenu, we have the what, why, and how of worship. The what is to sing, to shout joyfully, to come before him with thanksgiving. The why, because he's the rock of our salvation, our king, our maker, our shepherd, our sustainer. And how, submission and surrender to him as a living sacrifice. Again, being soft and pliable before him. Now we are at the heart of worship. It is the center. It is centered in what we give to God, not what we get. Worship is the turning over our lives to him, our Jehovah Hosenu. A service of worship is a service of surrender. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be a person here today that hasn't surrendered their life to you. You know the way as the great shepherd. You know the way that you want to take each of us, Lord, to make something beautiful out of our lives, to take what you created in the womb and now recreate it here through the circumstances that we go through. Help us, Lord, to be pliable in your hands, to be agreeable, to be obedient, to listen to your voice, Lord, to follow your direction. And Lord, there's not one person in this room that's not free from troubles and problems and things that we haven't asked for. But God, we ask that you take those things and make something beautiful with them, those tools, to make something beautiful out of our lives, Lord, that one day when we stand before you, we will hear that wonderful statement, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless each lady here, Lord, over the Easter time. May she see how important it is to have to be redeemed, to be rescued, of how you've gone through so much to buy us back, that we are blood bought by the very blood of God, that you love each of us, that you have precious thoughts towards us that are more in number than the sand. What a great God you are. And thank you, Lord, that the resurrection is there, and that it's all done and for us, that you have given it to us by faith. And I pray each woman might reach out to that and have new meaning and new blessing at this resurrection time. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen.